Tell me none of you guys thought of Ham Hams Unite while you were playing.
Definitely
this.
Did not.
Had not thought one time.
100% was like, it's Ham Hams.
It's not.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
And this is episode 241, I believe, and it is a Patreon pool. We collectively, as gamers, I guess, broke a record this past week as a sealed copy of Super Mario Bros. Sold for $114,000 at auction.
What in the world?
Well, that's normal, right?
Wait.
No.
Say it that again for the people in the back.
Listen, last year, I believe, we talked about it on the podcast because there was a previous record that was made last. It's previous now. It was made last year. Same game, different copy. Last year sold for $100,150. But a new one just sold for $114,000 at auction these last few days.
That's just crazy.
Not a sealed mint untouched copy of Super Mario Bros. No,
I feel like you can, and for
yeah,
cheaper
for
than that,
for
$100,000, I feel like I should be able to make a fake one.
It's already
sealed
that
anyways.
Expensive.
Nobody's gonna look inside to see if it's real. I just got to make up a really good backstory for where I found it.
Okay,
I'm about
what's
to get
the most,
rich, boys.
Well, okay, you wouldn't pay. I'm assuming y'all wouldn't pay $114,000 for a copy of a video game.
Do you know how rich I would have to be to pay $114,000 for a video game?
If I was rich, I would do it all day long.
I don't. If I was rich, I don't think I would do that.
So. No. You wouldn't. You still wouldn't.
Dustin never would. He'd be
okay.
The tightest
all
rich
right.
man.
What's the most you'd ever pay for a game in your current situation?
Your current poverty.
Y'all are like,
let's play.
Maybe $60. Oh no! What would? Okay, maybe just
a,
even
a retro
theoretically
like
speaking.
Collector's game.
Sure. He didn't say that.
Oh well, okay.
But it could
listen,
be
any kind of video game. What's the most you'd ever pay for a game, and what game would it have to be, and what kind of condition, what kind of situation are we talking about?
I don't know, like $250.
Oh,
that seems high for
okay.
you.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. What game are we talking about?
Diablo
2. Probably
2?
Some weird, right?
I don't know what even would do it. That's just sort of my hard limit for something that's like full on novelty.
Civ
I found
2
something that was
untouched.
Like super rare, actually worth more than that, signed by people that had meaning to me or like meaning to somebody. I was going to get it as a gift for them. I'd be more likely to like get a like original Final Fantasy VII for you and overpay than I would for like something I was going to use. Like novelty stuff is good gifting. It's not good. I'm just not a collector, you know?
Okay,
you're
bad
just
answer.
A giver.
Yeah.
$60?
A new game on the market, maybe?
A new retail-priced game, yeah. That's
you typically don't buy new. None of us tend to.
No. I would pay more, but it would not be $250, I don't think. It would...
Listen, an Ocarina of Time,
okay.
Mint, untouched, cartridge.
Without the box?
No, sorry. I'm
I got
yes.
you. I got you.
With the box, okay. Everything, but I'm just talking about like the game
signed by Miyamoto.
Signed by yeah. Miyamoto and by
Link.
And by Link.
Yeah.
350 rupees all day.
I think I mean Kenny, you already brought it up for me. It would be a Final Fantasy VII. I mean, dude, seriously, if there was a I think it's Black Label or is the most rare
yeah.
with those things. If there's a Black Label Final Fantasy VII, all discs, mint condition, signed. I don't know. I don't like spending a lot of money, but that's where I would spend the most money. I don't know how much it would be, right? But On the other hand, if I had in my collection a mint untouched game like that, and someone was willing to buy it for $100,000, I would depart with it yesterday.
Yeah, I would too, I'd have sold it so fast.
I'm not holding on to anything for that.
That means we're not cut out for collecting, because collectors would be like, I would never sell this ever.
Yeah, no. If it was me, I would pawn my whole collection.
I'd sell it for like $5,000.
Well, hold on. Pawn my whole. Pawn Don whole soul. Pawn my whole. Don of souls. Weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
Kenny, stop.
I'm pretty sure you said something inappropriate in there.
He did. Stop. I don't know what,
but it just sounded filthy.
Pawn my whole.
Pawn my whole.
Rhymes with Don of souls.
Yeah, you can't do that. That's prostitution.
Like in our retro game of the week, Final Fantasy II, Don of souls.
Oh my.
Overview. Final Fantasy II was originally a 1988 JRPG developed and published by Square for the Famicom.
I wasn't born yet.
I was, and Kenny was a grown man in his third year of college. So it is a part of the Final Fantasy series, which you're listening to this podcast, you most certainly know what Final Fantasy is. We've played a handful of them on our show. Quick trivia time. What Final Fantasies has New Game Plus played as a part of their show?
One.
Final Fantasy
eight.
Seven.
One, eight, seven, yes. Two more.
Adventure.
Ooh. Yes?
Tactics.
Yes! Oh! We did it! Why are y'all the sexiest boys?
I didn't think we'd pull it off.
No, and now we have played Final Fantasy II. However, we didn't play the original Final Fantasy II. That is still in the Retro Master list to be played someday. Mm-hmm. And I actually like how we ended up doing this. This last week, we played Final Fantasy II Dawn of Souls. It was a Patreon pool submission, the final Patreon pool of the summer. Antonin, one of our day ones, submitted this game, but he specifically wanted us to play the Dawn of Souls edition. It is the remake in 2004 for the Game Boy Advance. So it's still retro, 15 years old or older. But it is a complete remake, redesign, some quality of life fixes, and put on the Game Boy Advance, which, again, I never had. Nolan, you did. Kenny, you did not. Is that correct?
I did not have a GBA.
And I was a mega fanboy.
Man, I wish that I was.
My library was insane.
The GBA seems like it had such an incredible catalog.
It really did.
And it looks good, you know, like Game Boy, it looked good for what it was, right? But it didn't have color.
Yeah, it actually looked like hot garbage.
But looking back, like some of the art that they were able to do with that limitation
they did amazing things with it.
Yes.
But it's terrible.
It's green and then a darker green is what the color is.
Hey, someone had
there.
To start it.
You're right. You're right. Someone then had to advance it, you know?
Ooh. Well said. Hey, I'm glad that we're doing a remake on the show. We don't get to do that often because of the nature of the 15-year mark. It's like remake. That's happening now.
Exactly. So that's pretty cool. That's a really, really good point. In fact, I don't know if we've done a remake on this show before.
Maybe. Not that comes to mind.
I also feel like remake here is pretty heavy-handed. What? I mean, I know they added some content and
glossing.
Upgraded visuals and everything else, but it's pretty much the same game.
That's what
wouldn't know.
Remakes are, right? I mean,
remaster and remake, they apparently are different.
Yeah, because remaster is not really touching much at all. It's just enhancing graphics and sound, I think.
Okay, yeah, I think so too.
We might be making this
and
up
then
entirely.
A remake is kind of like a revisiting where a lot of things might change, like Final Fantasy VII remake.
I feel like when you use the term remake, it feels like we're going back to the game, but we're going to take it from the drawing board. And that doesn't feel like what this is to me.
This isn't just a remaster.
No, it's somewhere in between, but it's pretty much a shined up version of the original game.
Okay, so what's interesting here is that it's not just Final Fantasy II Dawn of Souls. This was a packaged deal for the GBA, Final Fantasy I and II Dawn of Souls. So as we booted it up this week, we get both options, Final Fantasy I and Final Fantasy II, and you have to pick which one you're playing. So it's a compilation of the first two games remade or whatever for the GBA in 2004. Final Fantasy II had a number of ports and remakes throughout its time. GBA was just one of them. There was also one for the PSP at a later time, one for the WonderSwan Color. There were a few different things there.
Mobile?
Mobile, so many different things. By the way, the changes between the original and this one, we might talk about it some in gameplay, but I think the major changes are a few. One, of course, graphics and sound. Two, it just kind of removed the difficulty level options and enhanced some of the quality of life, right, with the game, of how leveling happens, how speed happens. And then they tacked on at the end of the game an additional kind of like side story that you can play, which I doubt many of us got to this week because it is at the end of the game. But those are kind of the major fixes, along with a few bug fixes here and there. But the story is centered around four teenagers who are made orphans at the beginning of the game due to attacks from the evil empire.
I'm so sick of orphans.
Orphans are everything.
Between books and, you know, I enjoy fantasy, not a surprise. Yes,
that is a trope for
like
sure.
As a genre and old video games, I have... The number of orphans that exist is way too high.
But did most of them exist in 88, Kenny?
I mean, the problem was currently happening already at that point.
Yes. Orphans were a fad back in the 80s.
Orphans, man.
And we get to reap the benefits of that right now. I was about to say, I love how the game begins because you talk shortly or get the setup, but then your party quickly finds themselves among the Wild Rose Rebellion, and you're then given tasks just throughout the rest of the game from the rebellion leaders to try to thwart the attacks of the evil empire.
While we're talking about the early part of this game, can I also other tropes that I hate? I hate the unwinnable battle at the beginning of the game to show you how weak your character is for stuff you're going to go back and fight later and lose. I hate that garbage. It's garbage.
Yeah, you hate that. You hate that trope that's used all the time. Name one other game.
We played one just recently.
One
with the magic cards and it's a Castlevania game, Symphony of the Night.
Okay, he named one. But name two.
I think you can beat that one. But either way, good point. We didn't play that very recently, though. I feel like that's been a moment.
Hey, for Final Fantasy, they could do worse. I've heard worse story setups. Yeah. And I know it's a trope. I know it's reused. But like, at least it made sense, and I didn't feel too cheesy about it.
And story here is one of the things that this one does better than the first one. Final Fantasy II spent a lot more time actually doing story than just being like, here's a generic RPG, like, go wander around the world. And that was nice.
Your characters have names here. Like, your characters, you gave them the names, right? And they were just these, you were just a red mage. You were just a white mage.
At least
Kenny's characters in his mind had names. They were like Kenny 1, Kenny 2, Kenny 3.
No, I always named them, and they were always good, meaningful names, though I hated how much space you had. Three of your four characters have names. One of them's just a guy.
Okay. That's a name. I haven't.
The end of the episode. Also, end of the episode.
Here's the round of applause for Kenny. Quick fun story, backstory, NGP lore. We have all played this game before. I know this because at one point in time, Kenny was living with Dustin, and I was living in the same town. And instead of playing a shooter together, multiplayer shooter from our homes on our PCs because we have the internet, I hauled my massive, huge PC to Dustin's house up a flight of stairs to hook it up so that we could all three play our single player Final Fantasy game in the same room.
At the same time.
Separately together.
Separately. At the same time for no reason.
I think we were all back to back, weren't we?
Yes. Our backs were to each other. It's ridiculous and it's the best.
We weren't like, okay, I'm almost at this boss. I'll wait for you guys.
Silence.
That would be weird, but it was just all at our own pace.
Yeah.
Playing Final Fantasy II.
But we beat it and it was a great time for some reason and we're the worst.
I feel like I beat it.
Kenny, did you really not?
I'm pretty sure I didn't.
I don't know if we had the goal, but the thought was, let's play through the Final Fantasies together.
I think I played through the whole first one.
Okay, we played through the whole first one together separately, and then we played through the second one. Nolan and I beat it.
Yes.
Kenny
and I
apparently
fell off
didn't.
At some point, I think.
And I kept going and went through the full first six.
I quit
by
after
myself.
Three.
Yeah.
But it was
they all left me. Kenny went to go watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Literally.
And I finished playing all six of them.
That's actually what happened.
Gameplay.
Can we first start by talking about those characters, including Guy? Because people that hadn't played this game may have not heard how witty Kenny was. But you've got three main characters that you're rolling with. Fearina, you idiot! No!
Where did you get
that? I didn't
actually
ever read their names, right? Marie.
You changed
and
him.
And Kings of Leon.
You're
what
the psycho that changes names in an RPG.
No, I didn't.
You named Cloud like
names.
Booty Cheeks.
I just don't remember what they were.
You changed it.
It was
by the way,
F.
This is just funny that I noticed you just mentioned that about changing the names. On the Wikipedia page for Final Fantasy II, you know how they have embedded images throughout? Well, they've got an image showing of the GBA remake, and it says a typical battle scene from the Final Fantasy 1 and 2 Dawn of Souls edition. But the names of the characters are changed to OMG, WTF, and LOL. I think someone slipped that in there, you know?
That's not professional.
Really funny.
It's probably a screenshot from Kenny's, but no, you've got your characters Furion, Maria,
that's
and
what I said.
Guy. No, and Guy. And then you've got a fourth guy at the beginning named Leon, who you come into contact with later. But then you've got a rotating fourth slot of new and different characters that join your party throughout the game.
And what's cool is that, unlike the first game, these actually have somewhat of a personality. Like, they actually have a face, like, next to their name, which is always important for me because I like the visual representation. But they just kind of have more traits than just, I'm a red mage, let's save the world, crystals.
It is kind of nice, but it doesn't allow you to, like, role play into it as hard, which is not something I, like, actively do now, but I remember really enjoying as a kid. Like, you'd have these generic, you know, knight-type characters and everything else, and I would, like, create identities for each of them and who they were, and you can't do that when it's already defined characters as easily. So, I don't know. There's positive and negative there.
That being said, all the way up, even through, I think, Final Fantasy VII and beyond, like, you can change the names if you want to. Now, hold on.
Right.
Don't, and
please
you shouldn't.
Don't.
No, you shouldn't.
If you want to, like, roleplay and literally have a party of Dustin, Kenny, and Nolan, you can.
Yeah, but it feels worse when they're actual characters that have, like, story and, like, relatives in the game
right.
that are going to have names. It's different when they're, like, generic mage.
Right.
I don't mind doing it then. I mind
they're,
it here.
Their dead parents named them these names, and so you would be changing
right,
their names.
Right, you're full on blasphemous. Okay, so along with the fact that the characters themselves are different and have some personality, in some ways, they're actually less unique in this game than in the first game because you do not have typical roles here. Where most,
okay.
at least where the first Final Fantasy
yeah.
gives you, you know, white mage, black mage, red mage, thief,
fighter.
Warrior. I'm not going to list them all, but a number of actual, like,
almost did. You almost
I know. I got through most of them. of actual character types, and you select those at the beginning of the game, and then that character just progresses. These characters are all, I mean, they have starting equipment and, like, icons that sort of lean you in a direction for where they think you probably could choose to go. But all of your leveling is based 100% on what you do with your character instead of a pre-made character type. And that's the biggest, most unique thing about this game is it's not just automatic levels up. It's the items and skills that you use in battle get leveled up because you're using them. And so you can take any character, make them a caster, take any character, make them a fighter of various types, take any character, do anything you want with them if you'll give them enough time in battle, you know, using those skills.
And let's talk about that, because that's way different than every Final Fantasy,
right.
Most Final Fantasies, because your main character is usually set in stone. Like,
I mean,
this
you don't
is a
really,
more
you don't really see that style of play again in a popular franchise until what, like Elder Scrolls games, like Skyrim era.
I mean, there were probably
maybe
others, but I'm
sure
none come to mind. No big ones. But so on this, like, I like that a lot. I could see maybe Dustin. I don't know how you feel about it, because you like to min max your playthrough usually and use the walkthrough. So, but on this game, it's kind of like your responsibility to delegate who you want to use. And I just made everyone bow users this time.
Oh, did you? I think that's
yes.
a really bad idea.
It's not good. It's not
because,
very good.
Even the percentage of hitting with a bow is so low in this game.
Yeah.
And to build that is going to be so hard. Because the advancement system here, I think you touched on it, Kitty, is that you have to use the abilities to up that that stats. So you've got like, I don't know, the 16 different stats or something like that. And I think it's called here an activity-based progression system. So you have to use abilities tied to those stats in battle to get them upgraded. So listen, this is silly. To get your HP upgraded, you have to take damage and end a battle in the red. And then it kind of, the meter might move up just a little bit. To upgrade your magic ability, you have to constantly use your magic. Like, theoretically, it makes sense, right? Use those things and gain those abilities, but that's not how it had been done, and that's not how it's been done since, for many reasons.
It feels really different, and it both is more gimmicky and gameable, and also more, I don't know, more kind of dangerous, because you can do things that like shoehorn you into one really specific style where you haven't leveled something up, and then not give you a balanced party that is healthy and that everybody can add value. And yeah, I don't know. It's just got a lot more to it. And some people love that, and some people really hate both the complexity and the time it takes to grind out those changes and to figure out kind of who your characters are.
Well, yes, that could be very challenging. And I can see the first iteration of this game being very hard. But with the remake, or whatever we're calling it, they changed some of the balancing just in the math and going on in the background of how you're leveling these things. And I think that if you decide on a style of play for one character, You can just go through the game and you'll be set. You won't get to the end of the game and be screwed over. You shouldn't. It's where you start to get into weird builds or weird party compositions that you might struggle and have to really, really grind it out. Like with using all bows.
Like three bows, yeah.
Yeah.
Kenny, you did something weird. Yeah, experience was unfortunately close to Nolan's. And I'll have to tell you guys a little bit about my playthrough, because it was absolutely ridiculous.
You did all magic users.
Do you
want to
just tell us at a different time?
Yeah.
Or you
wanna
tell us?
What are we waiting
on? I don't know. I was waiting for a natural time for it to come up, but I guess I forced it. Okay. So, my experience, you guys know sometimes I'm the most ridiculous person. So
no.
First, I play through the game for probably an hour plus, like a decent ways into the game.
Can we guess real quick? What?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
I know what it is.
What did he do?
He did all magic.
I can't even. Anytime I try to guess, it's weirder and wronger. So,
okay. Well, first I forgot to save and then died. So I had to start over again. That was obnoxious. Okay. The second time I was spamming that save button because that wasn't about to happen yet, but I committed harder to the build. I wanted to kind of do like Nolan. I thought bows were novel and felt different than like in the first game. So I did the front line two shield character, the like meat tank character.
Oh.
And then two like ranged characters behind. But by ranged, I mean bows and magic both. I
How long did your fights take?
The problem is the first boss, by the time I got to him, I was out of magic points and didn't have anything to kill him with. Do you guys remember Sergeant, who you can't really hit with physical damage? I had one full dedicated tank. Migwu, or whatever his name was, had cast some defensive magic and then died. What's his name?
Minwu.
Minwu. I was close.
One letter off, but it was bad.
And then I had one party member who couldn't be hit, a boss who had run out of magic points and was only doing physical damage, and then two people who could use nothing but bows.
You're
and
not had a weak person. Bows.
I thought I could grind this out. So I sat there for 10 minutes holding A, watching. I sat there for 15 minutes. I got sick of it. I put something heavy on my A button to walk away from the fight and let it grind out itself. Walked away for 20 minutes. Came back to the fight and he still wasn't dead. A total of 45 minutes later of the fight just auto-fighting, the boss died. And I felt like a boss.
You're cut off from the rest of the episode.
You felt like a boss by defeating the first boss of the game in 45 minutes. Maybe you shouldn't feel good about yourself.
Yes.
This is coming from Kenny, who even back in college would try rubber band tactics where he would like wrap a rubber band around a controller to make something happen. He didn't. I've told you before and I've said it on air before, but I watched him play through the entire Final Fantasy VII game all the way down into the final cavern. And then he wouldn't fight the final boss because he wanted to, before ending the game, wanted to set it up so that all of his characters, every battle, were doing the magic 7777 damage. It's such a quirk, and it's so it's possible, but so not.
It's a gimmick. Yeah, it's dumb.
That
it's a really bad gimmick that you have to grind for hours.
And I sat there and watched. You have to die, or no, you have to run from battles. That's what you have to do.
Run from battles exactly 7,777 times, something like that.
My point is, it doesn't surprise me that you did something like this. It was a bad idea.
I did not
think
it was going to take that long. I thought it was going to take, I don't know, a little while. I was doing like 12 damage a minute, and this guy's got like 420 HP.
420? Hey, Final Fantasy II, just hold A. That's not a t-shirt.
Nolan, you had mentioned earlier, it's not my preferred mechanic, and... And this is why. This is why they probably don't do them, because they're going to have people like Kenny that show up and can't beat the first boss and then say this game sucks. Right. And so in future games, they probably set it up so that you can be successful even if you're an idiot. but I do appreciate the system here, and it is easy to game if you know what you're doing and know how to do it. Like, for example, early on, you can purchase the sap magic, and if you use that, you can upgrade your character's MPs extremely quickly, and so that you can have 999 MP within a short matter of time, and then you would have been able to beat that boss relatively quickly.
I'd have done that gimmick if I'd known. Like, running out of MP is so annoying, and freaking recharge items for it are so expensive. Nonsense.
Those are gimmicks, and you have to know those kinds of things to make it work. Naturally, playing through this game, you're not going to know how to do some of those things, and so it's not my favorite system. But what I will say is, what I so dearly appreciate about this game, and why it's not in the lower like three of my Final Fantasy tier, is because, well, for many reasons, but one of the main reasons is the story focus here.
Yeah,
being that there are characters with names, that they do have character art, that although yes, the three in your party are kind of the least fleshed out, but that fourth rotating one always has depth and story and personality.
Yeah.
And for the first time, you've got like this, the Emperor, your evil force, is something that is more layered. The story here, everything that you're doing, so in Final Fantasy, the first one, right, you're just it just kind of feels like you're going out into the world and what's happening is happening. But in this, everything is story connected, even to a fault where you're coming back, like everything you're doing is a part of the rebellion, trying to overthrow the empire. And it feels like that. It feels like you're engaged and involved in this story. And that's what I love about Final Fantasy. That's what I love about video games.
And not just story building, but kind of world and sort of franchise that they didn't know it building. Because as good as Final Fantasy I was and set up a ton of things that did stick around, this is the first one that does Final Fantasy, I don't know, tropes and characters in ways that end up becoming identifiers for the series long term. This is where you get Cid the first time. This is where you get chocobos. This is where Final Fantasy starts to evolve into what we think of as Final Fantasy. And I don't know. It's one more argument. I don't know if better is fair here, because I love the first one. I have a really, really hard time saying this is better. But this is where the evolution of having a second game and having a sequel gave them some room to kind of grow what they were trying to do.
And something else that I forgot about this game that stands out to me, even from some of the later ones like 4 and 6, the amount of time you spend in the overworld on this one is like the perfect balance. Like sometimes to me, it feels like it's way too much and you can get into like random encounter hell and you're like, please let me find the next town. Or it's not enough and you're just kind of always in the same cookie cutter town that looks the same. This one, like you were saying with the story, they kind of kept the pacing really nice. And I actually enjoyed a lot of the overworld just walking around. And then when you get to a new town and it's actually different visually and just in what's going on in their relationship to, like the king, the emperor and everything.
Yeah.
Like you're right. This one is so much about story that you like can't ignore it, which is awesome.
I do think some of that enjoyment is remake. Because if I remember playing the original
Probably.
One, it felt harder, felt a lot grindier.
Oh, sure.
You know, and
the encounter rate
in the world,
is high.
Yeah. And so this one, the pacing is definitely one of the things they smoothed out a little bit, which is nice.
Yeah. But like what you're saying, Nolan, and the reason why there's characters, there's character to each town that makes it unique, but then there's characters in each town that make it unique. Like some of your fourth rotating party members are from certain towns, and so you know a few people there and have to actually talk to a few people there. And if you've played long enough, those villages and cities change throughout the game because of what's happening in that feud between the Empire and the Rebellion.
That's
throughout the
crazy.
Game. And so like, what might have been a peaceful, untouched town by the end is not because of the events that are going on. And so, like, the stakes here are just far greater. It's just a lot of story elements there, even with the keyword system. We didn't even talk about that yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
we got prepped for it with Hamtaro, though.
Oh, my
nice.
God.
Gosh,
tell me
man,
none of you guys
connection.
Thought of Ham Hams Unite while you were playing.
Definitely
had
did
not. Thought, had
I
not thought
100%
one time.
Was like, it's Ham Hams.
Well,
it's,
you,
not.
So, it's exactly the same.
I know what you're saying. Here, you're given keywords. You've got white text. Every once in a while, there will be a red word, and then you can either ask or memorize item on the chat menu, on the talk menu, which is not a typical thing in any Final Fantasies, really.
No.
But what
no,
you can do is
I
memorize
like
those red keywords, and then you can ask about certain keywords that you have now in your ham dictionary,
the green ones.
To ask the people that you're talking to. And if they don't know what you're talking about, it'll just be a question mark. But if they do, they'll give you certain information about where to go next or what to do with this item or move the plot along, which is fun, but it also really kind of like makes it rigid that sometimes if you don't have a guide pulled up, you're going to be stuck for a while trying to open up the next part of the story.
Yeah, I for sure had to follow a guide on some of this, but it's not like too hard. I used to be intimidated by old Final Fantasy games, and I know I can't technically call this one old because it's a remake or whatever, but I did use a guide. But I feel like if you don't have one, I think you'll be okay, because like I said, they added balance to this one. So like if you just choose what you want to do with your characters, you're okay on that front. And then with the keywords, like it'll take you a little bit longer, but the fact that they kind of added that investigation aspect to the gameplay kind of helps you, helps keep you on track.
Aged.
So being a remake, one of the things they did is went back, upgraded these graphics to be GBA era while still keeping that kind of old retro look and redo the sound. And I always get a little worried that you're going to lose that kind of nostalgia vibe and that it's not going to be as good. But I really enjoyed where they landed. It felt like a good middle ground. Still feels retro here, but looks so, so clean to me.
I have a take. I don't know if it's hot or not. Okay.
It's like lukewarm, I'm going to call it.
GBA pixel art, this exact style, is the cutoff in terms of what is accessible to modern gamers in terms of visuals.
Like, I think anything older before this actually old and will stop them from playing it?
Sometimes. I mean, not every time.
I know what you mean.
But like compare this
line of what today's gamers will put up with.
Yes, they will see they will appreciate this and be able to access it versus look at the original Final Fantasy 1 and 2 and what they looked like. It was just blue and white text and maybe some other stuff.
I would say I would generally agree with you, but I think the Fortnite generation,
yeah,
your people, Nolan.
No.
I know. But Generation Z, I feel like this is even far removed from them. Like, probably. I think they would look at Final Fantasy 7 and be like, no. Final Fantasy 8, no. Final Fantasy 9, maybe. Like, that's where it would, like... I do totally get what you're saying. If they come in saying, I want, you know, let's retro game... then I think this makes sense. When you do go before this, it gets difficult, not only for them, and I understand, right? Because when you take away color or when you take away fidelity or quality or some of those things, if you didn't grow up doing it, it's a little tough.
Yeah, we all get to that place at some point. I find that on early arcade games and certain Atari titles where I'm just like, not sure I can fully commit here.
But for this one, it's so quality. It's so detailed. And this is why I am upset that y'all don't have the connection with GBA that I did, because this is it. Like, it just looks so good. All the characters, like, in the battle screens, you can tell who's who. The animations are the cookie cutter, like, oh, I have a staff, let me swing it twice. But... just the way that it looks on screen is just so good.
And the GBA remake really enhances these things. Like, the original graphics were a lot closer to Final Fantasy, the original game. So, like, Furion looked like a red mage. Maria, I think, had kind of a unique look. Guy looked like Guy. So, like, but still, they... a lot of it is enhanced in this remake. And so, yeah, you're looking at and listening to really good things. And Kenny, you were talking about music. It doesn't surprise me at all. Where Final Fantasy, pretty much you can blindly pick any Final Fantasy game and have music to your ears.
It's true. They've
really good music to your ears.
Literally, they've done such good things with this franchise.
Yeah. I think that they were really smart about knowing what tracks to keep and what tracks to upgrade from Final Fantasy 1, even, is what I'm saying, and bringing those over into Final Fantasy 2. Like, I just think here's the thing, they could have done cookie cutter, let's just do the same thing as Final Fantasy 1 and just change it a little, but they did stuff like far different. It's kind of making me think of Nintendo in the sense of, like, Nintendo's never like, let's just do the exact same thing. They're always like, let's turn it on its head, same theme, but do something crazy. That's kind of what happens here, is that it feels Final Fantasy, but it's so different in so many ways. And some of them worked, some of them didn't, but only time will tell. You know?
Yeah. Like that classic menu music, they chose to keep the same forever.
Yeah.
I mean, they changed it recently, just slightly, but outside of that, they started to, you know, add more unique things. Cause you could be like, okay, Final Fantasy VI has a certain vibe and Final Fantasy II has a certain vibe, and they're distinct enough And I feel like it was important for them when they made two to do that.
The chocobo theme was created in this game. Kenny's favorite track on any Final Fantasy, apparently, it was created here because this is where chocobos showed up, you know? So, like, although Final Fantasy II isn't talked about much, right? And it's kind of the black sheep of the bunch. And here's why. We didn't even talk about early, but I do think this is important to even bring up in age, is that Final Fantasy II never released in the States. As the original game.
And I think that's the big reason here, in my mind.
I think it's the big reason why it's a black sheep, is what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, so it didn't make it outside of Japan. So after Final Fantasy I released in North America in 1987, Final Fantasy IV released as Final Fantasy II over here as to not confuse players and has forever since confused players because that doesn't make any sense.
Thanks for that.
Thankfully, when I came to the Final Fantasy series, they had already kind of worked it out. So for me, it's always been Final Fantasy II is this. Final Fantasy III is the next game. So it was never problematic for me. But I do think that affects the age here is because Final Fantasy II never made it over. And so I think a lot was missed in translation. And then coming back to it after we had already had Final Fantasy IV, V, and VI, I think puts a little edge on it that didn't have to be there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Something else here, just from kind of like a quality of life standpoint that aged poorly is, so we talked about the way that you level your characters in that you're like leveling weapons or magic. When you do that at the end of a battle, it tells you in the text box, like kind of old school style, but one at a time. So you have to go through Guy's HP increase, Maria's HP increased, Firion's HP increased. Oh, they leveled their bow. And like, I would just prefer like one screen that shows me all of that, because that really did get pretty old to me because you're just hitting A. And I want to know that information's important, but it kind of slowed down the gameplay sometimes for me.
Here's what you've got to do to make this game more enjoyable. You have to have to emulate, and then you need your space bar to be speed up. And so it made my traveling around the overworld and battles a lot easier to access or to enjoy this week because I was speeding through a lot.
I played on cart. I have it.
Nolan played it legit.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, I have one and two on cart and my SP.
Dustin, you say that one of the quality of life things they added was always run mode, which I don't know if you get toggled on. Yeah. And I put on, I actually found it super frustrating because I would like run into a door that I didn't mean to and then try and like leave and hit stuff and like run past stuff I wanted to because it was almost too quick. And it, I don't know, that frustrated me.
You speedy boy, speed racer. You can get the GBA game for $20, so not bad.
Not $100,000?
I had $114,000 and wanted to pay that for it, somebody would let me.
I think Nolan would probably sell you his if you wanted to.
Sure.
You want to make this trade?
And I don't.
You can get a brand new for $50, so that's not even too bad if you want a GBA copy. It did come out in 2004. You can pick that up. Again, came out for a few different things. PSP as well. That's even more kind of advanced graphics and stuff. But from what I gather, well, GBA or PSP is the way to go when you play Final Fantasy II. But if you want, even PSP takes the graphics a little bit out of kind of the retro feel. And so, play GBA with us.
Yes.
No, play original NES, really.
No.
No, dude.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down, requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. I have got no idea who goes in what order. This will be interesting. I don't think I go first is my only thing.
I'll go first.
Take it.
This might be one of my favorite 2D
say it,
Final
boy.
Fantasies? Is that okay?
I mean, yeah, that's out of six and core games. Tactics.
The replayability. Tactics is whatever. The replayability is actually what's impressive about this game to me because most Final Fantasies don't have that, in my opinion, because you play the character, you have their skill set, and you have the same story. And in this one, you have the same story and characters, but the fact that you can build them differently is interesting and kind of makes you want to experiment a little bit. Maybe not back to back, like run it back when you're done, but later in, you know, next year or something, you'd want to revisit it. And I don't know, I highly value that kind of replayability. And so I think the uniqueness of the skill system in this one is what I love so much. And the connection I have with it because of what we did at your house. But it's okay. It's not the best one, but I do really, really love this game. And I think the ending is actually really cool. Like the final boss fight and final like story is a good wrap up. I just like the story. It's really strong. So New Game Plus for sure. Easily play the GBA one.
Love to hear the conflict there as you kind of talk through that. Kenny?
I mean, it's clearly getting New Game Plus from me, but in my mind, it's whether it actually lives up to my always hyped sequels are better sort of truth. And I think this is better storytelling, a more interesting, if ultimately flawed and kind of gimmicky and abusable take on kind of your leveling mechanics, but it can't out nostalgia the first one for me. And so it's a great game. I think people that enjoy old RPGs will certainly enjoy it. Playing it on GBA does clean it up and make it a little more accessible for people, and some of those quality of life things are nice. So I was glad that's the one that was submitted. So yeah, unsurprising New Game Plus, but doesn't quite live up to my sequels or better hype in my view, which is surprising.
It is surprising. And you said it's unsurprising, you know, New Game Plus. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think people have come into this episode wondering if we're going to give it or not because it is considered a black sheep. I was wondering if we are going to give it or not. I'll tell you the truth. Coming into this episode, I didn't know for sure which way I was going to go, and I'll explain my reasoning. I think there are so many brilliant ideas with this game, but it lacked in execution, especially the original. Now, we had the remake this week, and so we had quality of life increases that I think really does push it over the edge. But if we were playing the original, I think some of that would be problematic and difficult for us to get over. Kenny, I don't know if you're remembering correctly, but last time we played Final Fantasy I, it shocked me how rough it is and how old.
It's a brutal game.
Bad it feels.
Okay. I thought you were going to say how bad it was. I was like, no.
No. How bad it feels. There are worse Final Fantasy games than this. There are. Both 2D and 3D that are worse than this. What I like here is I think what the both of you said, there is a story and it's a good one. And yeah, your characters feel more real than they have before, and they'll continue to feel more real as the series progresses. But there's just a story here that they're telling. And so although they don't do it perfectly, they do it well enough to engage me. I was interested in the story. And in fact, here's the thing. I was using a guide, but not until I tried to figure it out myself. Mm-hmm. So like I had it there, but I wanted to see if I could have the right conversation or go to the right place or talk to the right person to figure out, because I was invested in the story. And you don't get that in Final Fantasy I. You get that in some of the other Final Fantasies. And that's why I love the series so much. Shut up, Kenny. And so Final Fantasy II, I, along with you guys, will give it my vote for New Game Plus status, which means that Final Fantasy II Dawn of Souls is New Game Plus certified. Yay. But what did you think? We had many people write in. I'm only going to read a few and not even comment on the ones that I don't mention because I get flack every week in Discord for just trying to summarize people's thoughts.
Good idea.
So I'll just read a few here. Garlisle said, I swore this game off once, and after finishing it again this week, I've sworn it off again. Progression, dang. Dungeons, gearing, enemies, bosses, magic, writing, characters, pacing. I can talk at length about notable failures in every aspect of this game's design. It's easy enough that it can still be mindless fun, but you can find easy fun RPGs that actually still have significant strengths and reasons to be played. The quality that gets people to play it is being named Final Fantasy. So in other words, skip it unless you're desperate for that name.
Hmm. I didn't hear real critiques of the gameplay, though.
I mean, well, he glossed over a bunch of them.
I'm interested. Yeah.
The ones he glossed over are legitimate things to complain about.
Sure. We didn't even talk about it, but I do think the dungeons are pretty bad here. Like, it's those rooms that are just empty and are unavoidable fights if you do go in. So those are rough. I get it. I disagree with the bosses. I thought they were good bosses. I enjoyed the magic, the writing. Anyways, is this going to be our second week in a row, though, Maybe. Where everyone disagrees with us? Maybe. Because we're going to lose everybody.
We're going to lose everybody.
Cecil wrote in and said, remember that time during the NES era when sequels would do a lot of experimentation before franchises truly found themselves? Sure. Like how Legend of Zelda 2 went from top down to side scrolling, or Castlevania 2 turned out to be the prototype to what would be the Metroidvania formula.
Mario 2 was also super
very weird. And I loved
it.
Oh,
yeah. It was great.
Final Fantasy II is another one of those titles where a lot of systems went to be tested. Not many of them succeeded, but it laid the groundwork for later entries to do them better. He goes on, Cecil goes on to list chocobos, leveling systems, rotating party members, some of those things. And then he says, big props to the game for having a male identifying white mage in the NES era and a rough and tumble pirate chick. Minwoo is still one of my favorite character designs from a Final Fantasy game. Final Fantasy II is more of an oddity than a must-play game. Hmm. It's worth examining and playing for seeing the prototype form of all these RPG systems and tropes we take for granted, and the GBA port makes it a more palatable experience with enhanced art and music and improved gameplay. I'd give this game NGP status more in an academic sense than it being something to play for fun.
I can't disagree with that. That was well said.
I also love Minwoo.
Yeah, I pretty much kept him in rotation.
Oh, I stripped him of all his items and kind of just ignored him.
Cool.
Sure you did. And gave shields to everybody. Clint said, my first Final Fantasy game was 15. I loved it. I beat it twice, completed all the achievements, everything. Whoa. Since then, I've beaten 10, and I've tried playing 7, but neither of them really hooked me like 15. Hmm. I've been craving something in another Final Fantasy game to grip me and make me want to not only beat it, but complete it. This game totally had that.
Dude, that's so crazy.
I just keep coming back to it. The micro leveling system is so amazing and makes me always feel like I'm making progress, even when I'm just running back and forth laying out hordes of goblins. This game made me enjoy the things that I dislike in other games like it. I'll be playing much more of it because it deserves NGP status.
That's bizarre. 10 and 7 didn't scratch the itch.
Right.
Yeah, it's a super interesting take because he's right. The grind feels less grindy here because it feels necessary, because you're engaging in fights to level up things specifically. Wow. I totally found that vibe. And I agree. We've talked about it. Imperfect game, but it's one I want to come back to as well and keep playing. And I don't always
say interesting.
That.
Whose progression is Final Fantasy 15 and then 2? Like those
that's one I've never heard.
When someone asks you, what's your favorite Final Fantasy 15 and 2?
15 that's just and 2, never, bro.
And then finally, Antonin, who did submit this game, said, when I played this game earlier this year, I grew to have a love-hate relationship with it. Now, a few months later, replaying it, I'm realizing just how awesome and fun this game is, how much I'm getting sucked back into it, and how accomplished I felt after I beat the final excruciating 16-level dungeon. There's so much to say about this game. It's like you could make a whole podcast about it. He's doing a whole walkthrough of the entire Final Fantasy series. Check it out. It's called Yet Another Final Fantasy Podcast.
Nice.
YAF Podcast.
Good name.
He said, I loved the unique fourth party member that rotated out. Layla and Richard were my favorites. The battle system encouraged elaborate setups and what I'd call engines, where you get stronger as the battle progresses, which made the boss battles something I always looked forward to. And while the maze dungeons and frequent random encounters were bothersome, actually battling was fun, and the game provided plenty of money and items to survive the long treks. It's worth noting that Final Fantasy II spawned its own offshoot series, the Saga series, which demonstrates that this game's style is something that really clicks with some people. And if nothing else, Final Fantasy II did give us Cid and chocobos.
Well said. That's cool. I love that Antonin loves this one so much because we talked about it being kind of the forgotten one that no one really talks about.
It's interesting because I listened to his podcast and it did not sound like he liked Final Fantasy II as he was playing through it because he was frustrated. But by the time he got to the end, I guess it settled on him and he really did end up loving it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for submitting the game, Antonin. It did take precedence over Ocarina of Time and other games that were added into the list. But for now, we're going to put aside Final Fantasy II Pawn My Hole, and we're going to randomly select the next game that we're going to be playing for the next 2 weeks. Why 2 weeks?
I don't know. I really don't know why.
Kenny?
Yeah, I don't either. You explained it to us.
Man, they are, these guys that I'm doing a podcast with are idiots because we've had this discussion. It's a retro recap. Woo! Yes. Retro recap is next week at the 20th episode. We'll celebrate next week. But for now, we're going to randomly select what game we're going to be playing for the next 14 days. And it is.
Whoa.
A 2003 3D platformer published by Sega. It is a part of a series that, I don't know, based on the gameplay of its predecessors from 1998 and 2001.
Sounds terrible so far.
Multiple platforms, GameCube, PlayStation 2, Xbox, PC. We are going to be playing with a yellow cat type thing, a red hyena type thing, what are they called, and a blue hedgehog type thing. The game is called Sonic Heroes.
Well, pawn my
3D Sonic.
Pawn my
wait.
Do you know Sonic Heroes, Nolan? You're a Sonic boy.
I don't know Sonic Heroes. I think it's bad. I know Sonic adventure games are pretty good, and they're 3D.
This is based off of those.
Well, then it might be good. Sonic has had some issues.
Sonic Heroes abandons its action, adventure, and exploration like Sonic Adventure and instead returns to the linear style of Sega Genesis era Sonic games.
Okay.
That's what I meant.
But well, 3D?
What is Knuckles? He's not a hyena. He's a
hedgehog. Quit saying it, hyena.
Porcupine.
Here, email us in this week and let us know what Knuckles is.
Join us in Discord this week, ngppodcast.com. Join us in Discord button. It'll take you there. We also have some t-shirts and NGP masks in our store still. If you want to help us clear out our inventory.
For the fall.
For the fall line coming up, upon my hole, trademark pending.
You can
find the links to purchase those things on our website. Again, that's ngppodcast.com.
A special thanks to all our producer level supporters. Amarlian, Austin, Doble Ben, Bro Jim, Dear Baby, Garlisle, Corey, Maxima, Mr. Lattes,
so
Shauna,
slow.
Zach, and Zion. You guys truly just are so faithful in supporting what we do, and we're so appreciative.
The cream of the crop. You can find us on social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Those links are in the show notes. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Sonic Heroes. Until then, I'm still Knuckles the Echidna. He's an Echidna.
I'm still not looking forward to a 3D Sonic platformer.
Minwoo signing off.
And this has been New Game Plus.
Sorry, Migwoo.
That's so funny, though, by the way.
Why did we?
Nolan, I would come home every day after work, and Kenny would be watching Buffy.
I know.
Listen, don't knock Buffy. Buffy's so good.